Hello, friends, and welcome back to Psalms. I'm so happy to tell you that Psalm 96 has us firmly planted in the joyful Psalms. I hope you're in a good mood, because it can be a little awkward when one friend is in a great mood and the other one isn't. And Psalm 96 has way too much to rejoice about to let your gloom win the room. Psalm 96 will call out to me and you and the whole world to sing. Now we're continuing through the royal Psalms to celebrate that God is King. He reigns. And that truth stands regardless of your mood or your trial. God reigns. So let's dive in at verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Now, as you read through, a series of three repetitions will drive the psalm forward. Each repetition is a command, and the first command is to sing. Three lines in a row call us to sing to the Lord. Not to the people, not out into the sky, but to the Lord. Sing a new song. You know what it's like when a brand new song gets stuck in your mind and grabs hold of your heart? A new song can take old convictions and worn-out feelings and give them fresh life again. Recall that these psalms were sung at the dedication of the Second Temple. A new song fits well for a time of restoration. Find a new song and sing it to the Lord. Now, singing can be a wondrous act. But I say that as one who was never terribly good at it. I remember my early days following Jesus. In church, I started singing, like genuinely, from the heart, singing. And it was so powerful to express my devotion and declare his glory in song with my lungs fully engaged. I remember after a few months of church saying to my wife, "I think I'm getting better at singing." And she said, better. So it turns out I'm better speaking than singing. That's okay. The call here is still for all of us, tone deaf or not. Actually, one of the best things I started doing back then was singing to the Lord on my bike ride to work when no one else was there to hear it or in the car. I would even make up new songs sometimes. My one encouragement with this psalm is that you actually obey the commands here. It's not meant to get you thinking about singing or talking about singing, but actually singing. This one is not a solo performance for the lead, but a great anthem for the whole congregation. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Declare his glory among the nations. So declare it. And in verse 4, for great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Now, verses 4 to 6 are sort of an interlude, a break from those command repetitions to talk about how great God is. That's a good subject. I don't know how often you think about it, but it boggles around my mind a lot. And his greatness should draw out praise from us. Praise and proper fear. Fear as in deep and reverent respect. He is to be feared above all gods. That's all the lowercase g gods. Every so-called god that the world venerates and exalts, we need not fear. Our reverence is owed to the Lord alone. In verse 5, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Then verse 7 delivers the second command. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Three times we are told to ascribe to the Lord glory. That means that we attribute it where it belongs. If you've ever been in a situation where someone accidentally gave you credit for someone else's work, you know that feeling inside that says, I could take credit for this, but it's just not right. I need to give the credit where it belongs. And the Hebrew word translated ascribe literally means give. The glory belongs to God, so give it to him. Again, this is not an idea to be contemplated, but a command to be acted upon. Use words and give God the glory due his name. Back in verse 8, bring an offering and come into his courts. So now this giving is more than just words. Bring an offering. Give the Lord something real and tangible to demonstrate the genuineness of your praise. Now, please do not twist that into a preacher's attempt to get you to give him money. This is a call to bring an offering to the Lord and enter his courts. In verse 9, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. There again is the greatness of the Lord. He reigns as king over all. He alone is judge of all, and in his greatness he will judge with equity. That means a lot to me. Equity means a level field, fair and honest judgment, true. And in verse 11, we come to the final command repetition. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. So we are called to let. You'll see the word 6 times here. In Hebrew, the word let is not a separate word, but actually part of the verb conjugation. Let rejoice, let be glad, let resound. In other words, the heavens are already rejoicing. The earth is already glad. The sea is already resounding with praise. We just need to let go and let them sing. Or like the old saying goes, let go and let God. Really, this command isn't even directed toward us. It's more of a proclamation of what's already happening. Let all creation rejoice. But it's funny. It kind of helped me to think about it in terms of what it's asking me to do. This morning, I was listening to Psalm 96 on my run through the park. And as I heard the words, let the heavens rejoice, I looked up to the skies in all their grandeur and let the earth be glad. And I saw the flowers and trees in glorious bloom. And I was struck with this idea of letting them rejoice as if I could stop them. I got this picture in my mind of me trying to hush the skies and the flowers, like, hey, I'm trying to focus here. Please, if you could all just stop your singing, I can get back to my work of figuring out God and putting him in my own neat little box. But they won't stop. They can't. And then I remembered Palm Sunday, that great day when Jesus was revealed and presented as king and carried by donkey into Jerusalem. And the shouts of Hosanna and blessed is the King were so great. The Pharisees, who spent all their time figuring out God and trying to force him into their theological systems, heard the praise for the King and demanded that Jesus quiet his disciples. And what did Jesus say? If they keep quiet, the very stones would cry out. Sometimes you just gotta let creation sing. Because trust me, you're not stopping it. Doesn't matter if it fits your theology or if you're just not in the mood, just let them sing. And let their song lift you. In verse 12, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Now, if you don't quite hear creation singing yet, read Romans 8 to find out exactly what all creation is waiting for. But for now, read Psalm 96. And don't just think it, do it. Sing to the Lord. Ascribe glory to the Lord. And let all creation rejoice.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.